Good afternoon. Welcome to Community Focus here at WUVS 103.7 The Beat. I'm so glad you're joining us today. Hopefully you are somewhere inside and warm. This is Friday, the 23rd of January, 2026. Again, as you followed the show, my friend and brother Gregory T. Roberts is not with us today. He is still recovering. We always wish him well and look forward to him joining us back here at the program. Let's get ready and jump into our show today. How about we start with weather? Let me apologize in advance, but I just report the weather. I don't create it. Today's weather, partly sunny, low of -2, high of 10. On Saturday, low of -3, high of 10 degrees. On Sunday, low of 3 degrees, high of 14. Monday, cloudy again, low of 5 degrees, high of 14. On Tuesday, expect snow, low of 12, high of 19. On Wednesday, a low of 6 degrees, high of 14. And on Thursday, low of 5 and high of 14. So things are going to stay frozen for a bit. Those of you here in Michigan, let's make sure we bundle up. Let's stay warm and protect ourselves. With that in mind, I always give you my five list, not a top five, not a main five, just my five list. So, you know, a lot of schools are closed. A few businesses are closed. People are off the roads. I wasn't coming out except for the program today. So when you're home, whether you're snowed in or iced in or frozen in like we are, what are the things you do in your home? Here's a five list for you. Number one, a good pot of chili or good soup. You got to have that, right? Number two, it's the time to catch up on some of those movies you've been wanting to watch. Unless you're working from home, then of course you're working, right? Number three, this is the one I haven't delved into. How about download or grab a couple of books you've been wanting to read? Number four, board games or video games. How about playing a few games, getting some gaming in? You can also play games with the family. And number six, cleaning up or getting to some of those projects you've been meaning to do around the house. Some sorting, throwing some things away, setting some things up to be given away. Maybe a little time, put extra time into doing those things. And I guess I should have had a six. You can spend some valuable time with your family, unless they aren't busy doing some of the other five things. But just some things we usually do. If I miss something major on the list, let me know. Of course, I could add it. You have to get out and shovel some snow, clean off some cars, those kind of things. But just some things we do when we're snowed in. And again, we have listeners all over the country. But of course, here in Michigan, we have it down to an art and a science. And we prepare for these things, don't we? All right. I'm excited, as we always do, to bring to you our guests for the first half hour of our program. For those of you here in Muskegon, hopefully the West Michigan Symphony is not new to you. At some point in your life, you've probably attended a program or heard of a program they've sponsored. I think all of us probably have at some point caught some program sponsored by the symphony. But they have an amazing West Michigan Symphony concert featuring iconic superhero movie music. And I want you to give a big community focus welcome to our guest today, Andy Belo, CEO of West Michigan Symphony. Andy, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Melvin. Glad to be with you.
Yes, yes. So, Andy, tell us a little bit about your background, how you come to be the CEO of West Michigan Symphony.
Boy, it was a roundabout journey for me. I started out I grew up in the household of a musician. My dad was a piano player. Mm-hmm. But he played mostly classical music. He did play some jazz, but he didn't like rock or anything popular. And so I rebelled real early on against all of that and got into a garage band and played heavy metal and hard rock keyboards. Mm-hmm. But I did end up going to school for music a little bit later. And then I went to work for orchestras. And that just happened because I needed a job and I answered an ad in the paper at the time in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And the Milwaukee Symphony, which is a big organization, was looking for staff members. I didn't know anything about it, but I applied for the job and I got it.
Okay.
And I've been at it ever since.
Great. Great. And so for folks that don't know, tell folks just a little bit about the West Michigan Symphony and the history of the symphony and where we are today.
Sure. We just celebrated our 85th year last year. So we've been around a while. Founded right during, I guess it would have been during World War II. And maybe they just thought that the community needed some music to uplift people's souls during that time. I don't know. I wasn't here then.
I'm not that old. So we've heard,
But it would have been all volunteer musicians, and I think they played in Muskegon High School auditorium until the renovation of the Frauenthal, and in the 80s when the theater reopened. Then they started performing there. And at some point, the musicians raised their hands and said, we'd like to be paid something. You know, so then they started paying them. And once you start paying, you got an orchestra of 60 players. Once you start trying to pay them, then you need fundraising and you need sponsors and you need support. You guys know all about that. So that's when they started having to have an actual staff to manage it. And so that's kind of it in a nutshell. And, you know, you were talking about your listeners and your viewers having experienced our concerts. And, you know, it's just as likely that for an adult to have experienced our concerts, it's just as likely for one of their kids. Yes. Because we do a lot of work with the community. Youth and making sure that they have access to music, and that's one of our big priorities.
Yes, and kind of as a side thing, one of the things working with youth in the community, some of the programs you all have done in the schools, and I think even in some of the neighborhood parks, to just expose kids to music, have really been neat and appreciated.
Yeah, well, that's one of our favorite things, and boy, I think back on those neighborhood parks concerts right now in the summer, and I can't wait till we're back there. Those
good to think about summer, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So, Andy, we have this concerts featuring iconic superhero movie music, and our family is big. We're a big superhero family. New Marvel, new DC movies come out, you know, we're there. We try to get there Thursday night, Friday, first weekend. So we're into all the big superhero movies. And my brother-in-law is probably getting his costume ready.
Excellent.
Is this the first year we've done this? What brought this idea about?
It actually came about a couple of years ago. We were in a meeting with folks from the Muskegon Museum of Art. And we always try to stay in touch with them because they're kind of the other biggest arts organization in Muskegon. Yes. And as everybody knows, they've had a big expansion recently. And if you haven't gone down there and see it, it's unbelievable. They have, I think every Thursday they have free admission. So it's really a great resource. Anyway, we met with them and we always try to find out like what exhibits they have coming up and see if there's any way for us to tie in our programming with that. And they were planning on having an exhibit called POW, The Art of Comics.
Okay.
And that's actually opening on February 5th. So we're anticipating it by about a week, but we decided our conductor really likes superheroes movies and that music. And so he jumped on the opportunity to program a concert with that music. And, you know, his big thing is that those composers like Danny Elfman and John Williams were really highly influenced by some of the old European classical composers who are all dead, but their music lives on. So he decided he was going to pair that music with Stravinsky's Firebird and Romeo and Juliet by Prokofiev. So both Russian composers. I don't know. That's probably just a coincidence. But Danny Elfman, who wrote a lot of this music, used to be, I'm going to date myself here, but in the 80s, he was the lead singer for Oingo Boingo. And somehow he ended up, I mean, he wrote most of their songs too. But somehow he ended up getting into doing movie soundtracks, and he did Batman and Beetlejuice and Edward Scissorhands and Batman Returns and all kinds of stuff. Sure. You know? So kind of giving John Williams a run for his money.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk this. So what happened? Let's talk about this superhero movie experience. What's going to take place?
Well, we're going to ask people to just listen. You know, one of the things I've found myself is, you know, there are orchestras like Grand Rapids Symphony does this a lot, where they'll show the movie and they'll play along with it. And I always find that when I'm looking at something, I'm not listening. You know, so and I feel like we, in a way, you're doing the music a disservice when you do that.
Okay.
So my feeling is, if you want to go and see the movie, go see the movie, because that's a great experience. And motion pictures are their own art form, and they deserve to be experienced that way. But what we're going to do is just play the music, and we're going to play it really well, and we're going to play it live in front of your eyes. With a really huge orchestra. Normally our orchestra is about 60 players, which is a lot. But this time we're going to have a bigger orchestra. It's going to be about 78 people on stage, which is probably about as many as we can fit. So it's going to be pretty crowded.
So now we should get all the details. That's going to be Friday, January the 30th at the Fronthal. And it says adults, the price is $19, and for students, $10.
It starts at $19.
Okay.
Adults, or it goes on up. There are different sections you can sit in.
Gotcha. Now, again, we're encouraging
you can get.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. You can get tickets at the Fraunthal Center box office if you want to go in person. That's 425 West Western Avenue. My guess is, in this weather, nobody's going to want to do that. So you can call. And that number is 231-727-8001. Or you can buy the tickets online at westmichigansymphony.org. And be sure that you wear a superhero's costume. No, you don't have to wear a superhero's costume. I'm just kidding. But we are going to have a costume contest. So if you want to dress up, go for it.
Yeah. You know, as I was preparing for the interview today, and I was thinking about it, you know, I mean, what's Star Wars without that music, or Superman? You know, so, you know, as you get older, you go, well, something's going to happen. I can tell by the music they're playing. But my daughter and I joke about this. And I, you know, I asked her about some music. She said, so, you know, I know that from, and it was from some animated show. And I was still, you know, like growing up with Bugs Bunny.
Yeah,
we'd hear like the symphony music or the operatic music with the, you know, but we didn't think about it. But how someone just music just became a part of, you know, superhero shows or other cartoons we were watching. So it's just kind of funny, you know, when you think about. I mean, I'm not a musical person. My family is, but you know who John. If you watch, you know, any superhero movie, you know who John Williams is. You know, if you watch the award shows, you know, you recognize his name. So
and interestingly, both the Stravinsky and the Prokofiev are from ballets. And there's a lot of crossover between the skill of writing for ballet and that of writing for a movie. There has to be a lot of conversation back and forth between the director of the movie and the composer of the music. The same way there would have been between the ballet director and Stravinsky or Prokofiev. And there's this, you know, there's this constant push and pull, and that's why John Williams has developed such a strong relationship with Steven Spielberg, because they work together so much.
Yes.
Yeah. They know each other. They know how each other thinks.
Yeah.
And that you can really feel that in particularly in the Spielberg movies.
Yes.
Because the music is like just such an essential part.
Yeah. It is funny, I watch a low budget movie and it's like I can't hear the characters. Turn it down some. It's not integrated into the movie, and you start realizing that it's like, man, doing a good job of scoring, whatever the music's like, or this music doesn't seem to fit what's going on the screen right here now.
Right.
Yeah. And so Scott Speck, again, does a lot of community stuff. I've been to some other communities, but he just seems to be a very versatile guy. How does, there are serious musicians. We're all thinking of as dead serious people. You mentioned he's a big superhero fan, but how does the orchestra look at doing something like this versus serious music?
Good question. I've been in the business 40 years, and I would say, 40 years ago, I think they would have turned up their nose at it.
Mm.
But I don't see that anymore because, we've got a lot of young players. They all grew up with this stuff too.
Yeah.
And they just love to play. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I always tell them is every minute you are on stage getting paid to play is mm-hmm. precious. So don't waste a moment of it, because somebody's paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they really take that to heart. And we do movie music. We've done music by Aretha Franklin. We're going to do a Beach Boys concert next year. Mm-hmm. We've done the Beatles, they're used to playing a lot of stuff, a lot of different things, not just so-called serious music.
Okay. Yeah. That's good to hear. Cause we certainly as the audience, we enjoy this. I'll tell you this,
this concert is unusual because a lot of times conductors will sort of put the serious music on its own program and then put the more popular music on a different concert.
Uh-huh.
And so I just to give Scott a shout out, this is putting them both on the same concert like he's doing here is unusual.
Yes.
Doesn't happen everywhere.
Yes. Yes. Tell me some of the other things that are going to be taking place with the symphony this year.
Let's see. We have a concert next month and also in the Frauenthal, and that's going to be on Friday, February 27th. Scott is not available for that concert. So we have a guest conductor. His name is Kellen Gray. And Kellen is one of the leading international proponents of African-American classical music.
Okay.
He goes around the country conducting different orchestras. And, his thing is there's a lot of great music out there. It's not all just by dead white European guys.
Okay.
Let's play music by women. Let's play music by composers of color. And there was a few years back, there was a new opera composed and it's called Jubilee. And it was premiered in Seattle at the Seattle Opera.
Okay.
I think Kellen was the conductor. And it's Jubilee is basically an opera that explores the roots of jazz and popular music in the United States and its roots in African-American folk music and gospel. And so he's going to play the overture to Jubilee at that concert. And then we have a wonderful pianist named Michelle Kahn, who's going to play the piano concerto in F by George Gershwin.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big work is the William Dawson. It's called the William Dawson Negro Folk Symphony. I believe it was written in around 1950.
Okay.
And this is, again, this is one of the pieces that Kellen Gray really tries to get on the on the schedule of orchestras around the country.
Okay.
So this will be the first time we've done it in West Michigan.
Awesome. Awesome. What date is that? We'll look forward to that.
That is Friday, February 27th.
Okay.
And, you know, we also have this little venue called The Block that seats 100 people. So much, much smaller. And we do various jazz and then small, I guess you'd call it chamber music programs. So coming up in The Block on Saturday, the 7th of February, is going to be the Jordan Van Hemert Jazz Quartet. He's a jazz saxophone player.
Okay.
So, you know, if people prefer a smaller venue like that, that's another opportunity coming up.
Yes. Awesome. So
we're pretty busy over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Folks, we're on the interviewing today. We have the CEO of West Michigan Symphony, Andy Belo. The event we're talking about is the West Michigan Symphony Concert, featuring iconic superhero movie music. And again, just a unique way to sort of present the symphony, for the symphony perform. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be on Friday, January the 30th at the Fronthal, 425 West Western Avenue. Tickets for adults start at $19, and for children, for students, $10. You can visit westmichigansymphony.org or call 231-727-8001. And yeah, I saw something else, and I was looking at the release. I think it's important for us to let folks know.
Yep.
And I don't know how long we waited to say this, but parking can be a little crowded in downtown Muskegon sometimes. And yep. I see you're offering shuttle service from the farmer's market down to the Fronthal.
That's right. Yeah, we do that year round for all of our concerts, but it really becomes popular in the winter.
Yes.
You know, because it just gets harder and harder to park and then walk and wade through snowdrifts.
Yes.
That sort of thing. Yeah. And, so you know, the city does a good job of trying to keep the sidewalks clear, but at the moment, it's an unending battle. So if you want to just park and be dropped right off at the door and then taken back to your car afterwards, the shuttle's free. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, that's awesome. We have a comment here from a lady you may know. Jennifer Ross said, thank you for all your work in making the symphony a great experience for all.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Yeah, I know Jennifer real well. And, she is an enthusiastic arts supporter.
Yes.
And we enjoy having her children in our programs and really, really glad to know her. So,
yeah. And I know we want to make sure before we make sure we get this in before we wrap up the day. The symphony concerts like this always require the community support, sponsors. You may want to talk a little bit about some of the sponsors you have for the superhero movie night, and then maybe some of those sponsors you want to maybe give a shout out to this afternoon.
Sure. Well, one of the things I'm proud of is that our sponsors are almost all from right here in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't get a lot of big international sponsors. And so this concert is being sponsored by Harbor Steel and Supply, which is a Muskegon-based company.
Yes.
And also by the Muskegon office of Raymond James. So we really appreciate their support. And, you know, people don't realize how much it costs to put on a symphony concert. But we really only pay about, if we're lucky, 30% of our expenses from ticket sales.
Okay.
So sponsors are super important.
Yes.
The other thing I did want to mention, Melvin, is that we are going to be saluting area first responders, particularly fire and police officers at this concert. There's going to be a huge group of them there, close to 200.
Awesome.
And it's at a certain point in the concert, I'm going to ask them to stand because, you know, we think that superheroes don't always come in masks and capes.
Yes.
Sometimes they're the people that are out there protecting us every day and trying to keep us safe. And that's important that be acknowledged.
Oh, awesome. That's amazing. And I'm sure they'll appreciate the recognition, and that'll be add a nice feature to the evening, the fictional heroes and the real life heroes.
Exactly.
Yes. Andy, I always ask guests this sometime when they're putting on events. You've been with the symphony in a while. If you had to lean back in your chair and close your eyes and say two things. One, what makes a good night for you for this event coming up? The next morning you get up, what would make you feel like, yes, this was a good night and a success?
The thing I like to see the most is the faces of people when they come out of these concerts. Because if we do our jobs, it'll transport people to another place. And, you know, we got a lot of problems in the world right now. There's a lot of people who are hurting, a lot of people who are frightened, a lot of people who are suffering. And music is a place that we can come together and celebrate our humanity. And so, you know, if people come out of that concert hall and tell me that that concert was life-changing for them, that's what makes it all worthwhile.
Awesome. That's a great goal to have. Second question, kind of along the same lines. If you lean back and you think, okay, this is some of the things, if they just handed me a big pot of money, I'd love to see West Michigan Symphony do in the next couple of years, what would some of those things be?
Well, I think I would love to I'd love to play more concerts in the community, including outdoor summer concerts that people could come like downtown to Heritage Landing or to Hackley Park. Those kinds of things are quite costly to put on.
Yes.
And it really does require a lot of community support to do it. So we do as much of it as we can, but we don't do as much of it as we want.
Andy, if folks want to get in touch with you after they have questions about the symphony, volunteer, want to write a big donor check, how can they get in touch with you?
They can just pick up the phone and call me. My number here at the office is 231-726-3234. And I think my email link is also available on our website.
Okay.
I think it's on the About section. They want to shoot me an email.
Okay. Yeah. Andy, it has been great talking with you. We hope that a few more folks heard about the not just the West Michigan Symphony, but this awesome concert featuring iconic superhero music, as well as a night to honor some of our own local heroes. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Melvin, thank you. Thank you for having me on. And I join you in wishing Gregory a speedy recovery.
Okay. Thank you. You take care and stay warm out there, all right?
Yeah, you too.
Okay, bye now. All right, folks, we're going to, that was Andy Belo from West Michigan Symphony. We're going to take a little break here, and then we'll be back with our next guest. Okay, good afternoon. Welcome back to Community Focus. I hope you enjoyed our last guest. I think you'll enjoy my next guest as well. She is the... She is the network coordinator for the Housing and Homeless at United Way here on the Lakeshore. Her name is Madison Butler. Madison, are you there?
Hi.
How are you? I can hear you, can't see you.
I don't know what's happening with that camera right now, so I apologize for that.
Okay. Well, we're part radio, so they won't know. we are radio and we are on Facebook Live. So if that works itself out, fine. But we'll have a conversation still.
Amazing.
How are you doing, Madison?
I'm doing all right. I'm staying as warm as I can right now is how I'm doing.
Yeah. My wife's from South Carolina. I say we start every conversation with telling people to stay warm and stay safe this time of year. And we end them with the same thing for sure. But Madison, tell people a little bit. First, let's tell people a little bit about the Housing and Homeless Network and some of the work that we do here in Muskegon County.
Absolutely. So I am... My job and position is based out of United Way of the Lakeshore. However, I'm the coordinator for the Muskegon County Homeless Continuum of Care Network, long name, also known as the Muskegon COC. So our COC is, in order for us to be able to receive federal housing and homelessness dollars for our county, we're required to have this network. So I help coordinate those efforts.
And so when we talk about this network, who's involved in this network?
Absolutely. So right now we have approximately 40 organizations who participate and who are members of our network. Some of the larger organizations, obviously we have United Way of the Lakeshore. We serve as our collaborative applicants. So we're the ones that do the actual application to HUD in order to receive these dollars for our community. We also have Every Woman's Place. So our DV and Women's Shelter, the mission, the rescue, the Muskegon Rescue Mission, Health West, Community Mental Health, True North Community Services, Family Promise of the Lakeshore, and I could, both the City of Muskegon, the City of Muskegon Heights, some of the police departments, I could honestly keep on going. But we have a lot of really fantastic collaborators when it comes to the work.
Okay. Now, one of the things we want to make sure we talk about today is the point in time count. Let's tell people what that is and what kind of assistance you need from our community.
Absolutely. So our point in time count, or we call it the PIT count. And this is something that we are federally required to do at least every other year in order to make sure that we receive our dollars into our community. And that means that in order to receive that, that's approximately, we bring in just under $1 million for housing and homelessness into our community through these grants, right?
Okay.
And so this is technically an off year for us, but we complete it every year because we like to keep on trends and see what's happening in our community. And what we do is we treat it as a volunteer opportunity. So we encourage the community to come out and come with us. We start at the United Way of the Lakeshore. This year, we're starting at 9 o'clock. Okay. And what we do is I prepare everyone with surveys. We have a map that's split up into teams. People go out in teams of approximately 3 to 4 people. We want to make sure people feel comfortable, right? The teams feel comfortable going out. And you send them out in the car, but then we're walking around on foot. And usually it's about 3 hours that this opportunity, and as we know, this time of the year, it's always the coldest time of the year, and there's always some freak storm that's going to come through, which is exactly what we're experiencing again this year. So we know that it's cold and it's a lot to ask of our volunteers, but we've always had a great response to it. It's a way for folks to really have a better understanding of what folks who are unhoused are experiencing right now in this time of the year. So we go out and we do these very short surveys with folks. We have what we call care kits. If folks choose to do the survey or not, that's okay. We'll provide them with a care kit and they can be on their way.
Okay.
And it's really a chance for us to just kind of, it's a data collection moment, right? So we're trying to get hit any basic needs, but in that same moment, we're trying to have an understanding of who truly doesn't have any resources in the worst weather that we have in Michigan. Right. So we do it at the end of the month. We're doing it at night, because typically folks can, there's warming centers during the day. Folks can find somewhere warm. At night is when it gets rough. We don't, right? Resources are shorter. We do it at the end of the month for folks who maybe receive their SSI and SSDI checks at the beginning of the month. They're able to sustain themselves for the first couple weeks, and that sometimes that falls off at the end of the month. So this is really the time when we're trying to have an understanding of just who still needs those supports that we're not getting to in the worst of the worst when it comes to it for us here in Michigan.
And we didn't get a chance to talk in advance, but I'm going to ask, I know you'll know the answer or you'll be able to respond to these questions well enough to inform our audience. When we use that word homeless, there's still a lot of misconceptions about what the definition of that is and who's out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't know if Muskegon is even much more unique than the rest of Michigan, the rest of the country, but from your past work, from these PIT counts you've done, kind of inform us a little bit about homelessness in Muskegon County.
Sure. So one, right, when we, because the main question that you always get is what's the number one reason that someone's homeless, right? What's the reason that they became homeless? And Especially right now, we know that there's a lot of information that's being put out, not just in Michigan, but across the U.S. about why someone is homeless and why they're having that experience or why they're unhoused. And really, we want to make sure that we kind of bring it back to there's 100 reasons why that can become a part of someone's journey, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've maybe all had that moment where you've had something break down in your car and you have to make that choice of what bill you're going to pay first this month, because that car bill is the only way that you're going to get to work. But you also have to be able to pay your rent, so you have somewhere where to stay, but you also have your utility bill, right? So yeah. Sometimes it's a car note. Sometimes it's because you had a medical expense that you weren't expecting for your household. Sometimes it's the fact that you got laid off from your job and that was unexpected. Most of the time that someone is suddenly experiencing homelessness, mm-hmm. it's not because of drugs. It's not because mm-hmm. of alcohol. It's because something in their life has now caused the snowball effect. And it's really hard to catch up, right? Once that starts to happen.
Yes.
So when we talk about and something that I think is important right now to really think about when it comes to Muskegon homelessness. So we just completed our data year for last year, right? That's mm-hmm. that's technically September of 24 to October of 25. And mm-hmm. from, this is going to be approximation because I don't have these in front of me, but from about sure. the 600 individuals that we had who had touched our system at one point that we are able to say that we know that they touched our system, right? Mm-hmm. We yeah. know that 87% of those individuals were new to the system.
Okay.
Okay. So we know that that's saying most of the time when we think of homelessness, we're thinking about chronic homelessness. You're thinking okay. about the folks that yeah. you always see outside, the folks that usually have been, right? They've lost trust in the system at one point. And you think about folks, that's usually the ones that you visually see, but you don't see the mom and her kids that are staying in the car and she's still able to get them to school and get to work herself each day. And you don't, because she doesn't look like she's homeless and like we imagine that. So when we're talking about 87% of our community, right, that was mm-hmm. new to this in the last year. Yes. And the reasons for this, right, going back to some of that, and stop me whenever you want, because I can get on the soapbox real easy, is, but where was I going with that? But so something else that we want to think about in that is, I lost it, but that's okay.
Oh, tell me about how we know, you talked about the new 87% of people were new into the system.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that we don't always know what's happening in yeah. the, in the background. And that most of the time, what's also difficult is that when we're talking about, when you say what does it mean? What is the definition of homelessness? Kind of going yes. back to that too, is mm-hmm. depending on which part of government and which grants you're talking about, mm-hmm. we have different definitions of what homeless means. Yes. So when we also talk about the assistance that we want to be able to service people with, it changes. If you're talking about in the school homelessness and McKinney-Vento homelessness, that's mm-hmm. for your youth. And that's for true youth, folks okay. that are under the age of 18. When we're talking about HUD homelessness and federal, so some of the federal grants that I'm referring to,
yes.
they count as youth between 18 and 26.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So we're also, so there's a lot of confusion even in the system, and the systems don't always work together when it comes to trying to identify and then properly service folks who are unhoused.
Yeah. One of the other things, you know, I'm a big walker, so I walk through Muskegon and Muskegon Heights a lot. And mm-hmm. There's spots I would see people, and we had development in the community. It's like, well, where I saw a few tents there, there's now a new building, a new structure. Two things I want to add. One is the homelessness just in Muskegon and Muskegon Heights, or is it spread throughout the county as a whole?
Excellent question. So it is definitely spread throughout the county as a whole. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to have a better view of what that's really looking like on a county level rather than just an urban level. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, a lot of it, because we do have a fairly reasonably large urban development on the lakeshore, right? So a lot of our focus is obviously where those services are going to be most accessible.
Yeah.
But with True North has become our housing assessment and resource agency. So they're kind of our gateway into housing services for Muskegon County. Mm-hmm. But right, technically their office is up in Fremont. So they have been able to also help us look into the National Forest and get a better view on what folks are experiencing rural homelessness and how can we better respond to that as well. So we have a focus in within the cities and within the Heights and the city of Muskegon, but we also know that it's definitely, it exists outside of the urban development as well.
Okay. And Madison, I need to tell you, Ms. Juanice Harrison said, you are an amazing individual and you do an outstanding job managing the continuum of care, housing, and PIT at the United Way of the Lakeshore.
Thank you, Juanice. Appreciate that.
Well, it's always good to have somebody recognize that you're doing a good job and working hard. So thank you for the work you do.
Thank you.
Again, I know this is, we know right now we've got extreme cold going on. I got a little notice at the bottom of the screen talking about extreme cold.
Yep.
What are some of the things organizations can do? I'm a pastor of a church. We're on a food pantry. What are some of the things people can do right now during this extreme weather situation?
Absolutely. Great question. So right now, the main part is as much as we can give as much as we want in these moments, right? Mm-hmm. We actually just finished doing a care kit drive in order to build out these kits that we're going to be passing out next week of wool gloves and hats and socks and food and all these great things. And all of those are still needed. Mm-hmm. But really when we're talking about, right, the weather is at a 5 right now, and we're talking about a wind chill that's going to be a negative 30 in the net through this weekend. Mm-hmm. What we can do is really, especially for organizations, if you're able to open your doors and become a warming center, there's nothing special about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of like fire safety and making sure that you're not having too many folks, but there's nothing too special in order to be able to make that happen. If you're able to have a staff member who's comfortable opening the doors and you're comfortable to allow people to come in, have some reprieve from that cold weather, that's really going to be the best when we talk about people's livelihoods and not just being able to survive, period, but survive through the night when it's going to get that cold. If we can open our doors, is really going to help in this moment.
Yes. Yeah, that's important for people to know. And I know I've been seeing announcements of a few places that were opening as warming centers. And so hopefully we get that information out to our listeners and they can pass on to other people as well.
Absolutely. And right now, as far as just a touch on that is call 211. They're going to have them for anyone that's looking, they're going to have the most up to date. And we know that there's a lot of things on Facebook, which is great. We just know that sometimes some of that information is passed along and it's not correct anymore and we don't know where that is. So 211 does a great job of following up on all of those to actually know which warming centers are currently active as well.
Yeah. We have a lot of folks, again, outside of our community that listen. Could you briefly tell people what 211, they may have similar things in communities, other numbers, but tell folks what 211 is.
Sure. So for 211 for Muskegon, it's the the call line of the Lakeshore. Mm-hmm. And there, I always think of it as like it's your information line, right? It's usually the 411. So it's for anyone, and that's beyond what we're talking about right now, beyond housing and homelessness and any of those needs. Like even if you need to know what's happening in the community, or if you need to pay a utility bill, or you need to be able to help your mom with getting an appointment somewhere for senior resources, right? If you're trying to get a connection to a need, that's really the main line. They have tons of resources that they can connect you to. For us specifically, so I talked about True North, them being the gateway. 211 can connect any individual that's either experiencing being unhoused, or if you're also experiencing being precariously housed, if you're behind in that bill and you want to make sure you don't lose your housing, call 211. They'll connect you to True North. If you call 211, they'll be able to let you know where those warming centers are or where some of those food resources are, depending on what you're looking for, but they can always connect you.
Thank you. Folks, we are on air today with Madison Butler. She is the director of Muskegon Housing and Homeless Network. She's the coordinator of Muskegon Housing and Homeless Network. You may have heard of the Muskegon Continuum of Care. And we have an important day coming up. It is January the 28th.
January the 28th. We start at 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And just make sure you come bundled, come warm. We'll feed you before we send you out.
Yeah. So this is sort of the annual census of homelessness for our community.
Absolutely. Yeah, it gives us a little snapshot. We know it's not a complete snapshot because we always hope we need the data, but we also always hope that we're going to run into less people than we did the year before. Hopefully that means that folks have found somewhere safe and warm to be for the night that we're going out.
Yeah. And so you will have some pre-designated sites where we kind of know people kind of gather and congregate.
Correct.
But then you'll kind of look for new places and.
Absolutely. So if between now and then, especially because of the weather right now, this map is changing all the time, but we keep an internal map and we have folks and organizations who call United Way. They ask for me, they ask for Madison, and they'll let me know if they have a new sighting. So we add that to the map. So we know that we're also not sending people on a wild goose chase the night of, and that hopefully we can actually have some interaction and complete some surveys with where we know folks are typically staying.
Yeah. You know, one of the things in my past life, you know, I sit with my staff and we wrestle with these things. You know, we'd get calls from a business. So there's some homeless people in the vacant lot next door across the street. And I thank God our city police department works with a social worker. And oftentimes they're able to take the social worker there. But, you know, to explain to people, well, you know, arresting people, you know, or taking them to jail isn't the answer we're looking for.
Correct.
Was really a challenge. And I'm sure you've had many of these discussions with people.
I sure have.
Issue. Yeah.
And it's great just on your, I think it's amazing what our surrounding police departments have worked and collaborated with the community mental health organization with Health West, because all of them actually do have a mental health social worker who is on their crisis team and who is able to go out with them in those moments when it's not a police needed emergency, and in order to make sure that we're able to service individuals in those moments as well. They've done an excellent job with that with that program.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, other people are better to approach people other than the danger factor, but you know, police comes with a certain amount of baggage sometimes for people. And so the fact we have other individuals that can approach people is a bonus and assistant, just sort of serving a population that we're trying to reach out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so again, it's the PIT count and they need volunteers for Wednesday. Now, we already said it's going to be a little cold, so bundle up, wear your warm gear. They're going to feed you, but very important for us to get a count. And again, this is not to exploit people, but, you know, things take dollars, and to bring dollars to this community, we need to identify where homeless people are and the numbers we have out there. Let me ask you this question. I think I touched on it earlier. Is there anything unique to our homeless issues here in West Michigan versus the rest of the state?
I think that's an excellent question. When it comes to anything that's particularly unique, I can't speak to in this moment. Really what with collaborating with other counties and other COCs across the state is what you realize is that there's parts that are consistent in some ways, right?
Yes.
Rent is too high.
Yes.
There's not enough housing, some of these things, but there's also each community is going to have their own uniqueness and peculiarities when it comes to this, right? So we know that we're a tight-knit community. I know that there's other tight-knit communities. And what's been really amazing about Muskegon is that we try to wrap around as much as we can around our community and make sure that we're lifting people up. And that's really something that's so so apparent in our response.
Yeah, thank you. Are we... You know, I'm sure certain communities handle these issues better than others. What are some of the things that you think we're doing well in Muskegon, and some of the things that you think we are working toward to do a little better?
Something that we're doing.
Yeah, I was just, some of the things we do well in terms of trying to address the homeless issues in our community, and maybe some of the things that we're working toward to do a little better at.
Absolutely. I think that in the last couple years, we've done a really excellent job of trying to expand our funding in order to be able to continue our services and to expand our services. We've been able to add organizations to our network in order to expand education and have a better understanding of what's happening, especially in this time of a lot of information being put out there, and trying to make sure that we put information that is going to be educational to folks. And something that I think both the city of Muskegon and the city of Muskegon Heights both something that we've been doing well and also something that we need to keep pushing on is we're trying to build affordable housing right now. The issue that we're having, right? The main issue is that at times we have folks who are ready. We've had sufficient funds in order to get them into housing, but there's not housing that is affordable.
Yes.
And there's really just not enough housing. So the city has done an amazing job of trying to change zoning laws, amongst other things, in order to make sure that we can start to build. But we also know that there's still just not enough, and that's something that we're still really pushing for.
And I'm going to say this, so you don't have to say you don't control anybody, but we need it throughout the county, not just in the city of Muskegon.
Absolutely.
We need other communities to consider affordable housing. Or like to say housing people can afford,
way you want to say it. And I know it's something that's on the minds of everyone right now. Yeah. I recently have had several meetings with Jennifer Hodges, who's the housing coordinator for the county.
Yes.
And the county had hired her on, I believe now a year ago, in order to start to make this push. Right. So we also, so I know that it's being viewed on a countywide level at this point.
Yes.
And we're working towards it. We also know that development isn't always quick.
Yeah, that's correct. Folks, so just some additional information. Again, it's the point in time or the pit count. If you want information, you can sign up at UnitedWayLakeshore.org pit count. And we are looking for volunteers. That's for Wednesday, January the 28th. If they have additional questions before they're considering volunteering, Madison, how can they reach you or somebody can answer their questions?
Absolutely. So I don't always have this number up right away for me. So if you have any additional questions, people can contact me. And that number is 231-332-4012. Mm-hmm. You can call United Way and ask for Madison if that's easier. Okay. Or my email is also all over that website. So people can contact me any way they need.
Great. Madison, I want to make sure we get everything. Is there anything else that we need to make sure we are informing the public about related to the PID count coming up, or some other issues related to the homeless issues in our community?
Sure. And I'll take that opportunity. So obviously the PID count, please come out if you're curious, if you want to know how to be involved. If you don't want to be involved and it's because of how cold it is and you want to figure out how to be involved another way, please still give me a call. There's definitely other ways to get folks involved. And the other part is right now, we need folks to advocate. Please, please call your reps, your state reps, your county reps, everyone. Right now, our federal funding and a lot of our state funding is still on the line when it comes to housing and homelessness dollars. So we want to make sure that we're still going to be able to bring those in for next year. And so we just encourage folks to call. And if you need those talking points, feel free to give me a call. I can help walk you through them.
Great. Madison Butler, thank you so much for joining us today. Listen, you have an invitation. If there's some important information we need to get out to the community, you certainly have an invitation to come back and sit with us anytime.
Thank you so much. I will definitely take you up on that.
Okay. Folks, again, it's Madison Butler, Muskegon County Homeless Continuum of Care. We need to get a count. We need some volunteers. It is the point in time count taking place on January the 28th. And we're scrolling across the screen information if you want to get in touch with Madison and the United Way or the 211 access line. So that information is scrolling across our screen. Madison, again, thank you so much for joining us today. And you stay warm and stay safe out there, okay?
Thank you. You as well.
All right. And Juanice, thank you for the information as well. All right. Folks, we're going to take just a real brief break, and we'll come back and close out our show for the day. All right, folks, as we look at this Friday afternoon, you know, we talk about the we had the West Michigan Symphony on and a program coming up on the 30th. And then we had our guest, Madison Butler from the United Way, talking about the homeless issue in our community. One of the things that always strikes me as we have guests in our studio is that not only do we present information, but we present opportunities for you to get involved in our community, whether you want to volunteer with these organizations that we interviewed today. But, you know, I grew up in a family with musicians. To go to the concert and maybe sponsor two students, to hear symphony music, music they've heard watching some of their superhero movies. You know, that doesn't take a lot. $10. That's maybe skipping a meal you eat out, or maybe taking an afternoon or part of your day to help just drive around the community and see if you can make contact and find out where homeless people live. People often look at big problems. And one of my brothers, John Covington, likes to say, nobody can do everything. But man, with a few people doing things, we can get so much done. So this is always an appeal to our community. Find a way to contribute. Find a way to be a part of community. I hope that every week as we interview our guests, we present something to you that gives you a chance to get involved, gives you a chance to be community. All right. I'm off the soapbox. This has been Community Focus. It's Friday, the 23rd of January, 2026. It is cold outside. Folks, stay warm. Stay safe. If necessary, open your doors to somebody and let them come in and be warm for a little bit. You all be blessed and take care. We'll see you next week.